Good evening. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the word to the wise, the word of wisdom, the word of Christ, who is wisdom from God. Everything pertaining to salvation is found in him. Everything pertaining to creation is found in him. For all things have been given into his hands. And he's been made the head of all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Father, magnify the person of Christ this evening. Build us up in our most holy faith, we pray, in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior. Amen. I've entitled the message this evening, A Word to the Wise. I'm into this wisdom thing. Maybe some of it will rub off on me and you. This is Friday Night Live, September 25th, 2015. So we've learned about the wise woman from Judy's wonderful teaching. And I hope we're all becoming wise men and women who seek Christ, even as the wise men sought him at his birth. And it's very true that wise men still seek him. You made a wise decision to come here tonight. And you might say, well, I didn't have anything better to do. But I say, you couldn't do anything better than to come here tonight. That is, nothing you could have chosen would be better for you or better to you. This is far better than karaoke night with half-price drinks. You get to hear my melodic voice speaking God's word, rapping as it were, and you get free food and beverages afterward. So you get a better view. So I hope you agree that it's good to be here on Friday night. Turn to Proverbs 4. This is the great import of wisdom, a word to the wise. Proverbs 4:1. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father. Who's the father? Well, it was Solomon's father, David. But it's God the Father, our Father. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is also our Father. When he rose from the dead, he said to Mary Magdalene, I go to my Father and your Father. He said, tell the disciples I go to my Father and their Father. So that's where the transition took place, where Christ's Father became our Father by his death, burial, and resurrection. The salvation that resulted from his death, burial, and resurrection. He did it all by himself. So here, O sons, the instruction of a father. Who's your daddy? God. Jesus said to those who had believed in him, your father's the devil. Because you seek to do what he has sought to do. He was a murderer and a liar. Mark 14:36, and he was saying, this is Jesus, Abba, Father, which means literally daddy in the Hebrew, or in the Aramaic. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the olive press. That's what Gethsemane means, olive press. Where he was pressed, and what was drawn from him was the oil of gladness, the oil of anointing, the oil of the Holy Spirit that we have, that's been given to us, so that we might have Christ manifest, not only living, dwelling in us, but manifest through us. My cup runneth over. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. And he says, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. Completely submitted voluntarily to the will of God. In regard to his great suffering, indescribable suffering, and his death. That is, for us as our substitute. The sacrifice was great. And the Father beheld what took place on the inside of Christ, which was a suffering that's so deep and dark that it can't even be expressed by words, and was satisfied with the sacrifice that he made. He saw the travail of his soul in Isaiah 53:13 and was satisfied. Romans 8:15, for you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. And then Galatians 4:6, because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Listen to the instruction of your loving Father, the one who sent the Son, who gave the Son, to be the satisfaction of his justice for us, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says next, he says, and give attention that you may gain understanding, for I give you sound teaching. Sound teaching means correct teaching, precise teaching, precise instruction on many different subjects. That is, with regard to the spiritual life that has been given to us, that we might execute the will of God in time, that we might glorify God by grace and be his godly ones. So, he says, do not abandon my instruction. This is a word to the wise. Don't abandon his instruction. You say, well, I hear it all the time and over again. We hear the same types of things over and over again. This and that, this and that, this and that. Don't abandon it, because it's a matter of perseverance and a matter of time before it connects, before it registers, before it brings sweeping change to the inner person and the thought life of the believer, so that his life might actually change. You can't change your life until you change your thinking. And thinking doesn't change easily, you know, because you've thought a certain way all your life. It doesn't stop and something new takes its place. Even though you may acknowledge that it's true, it doesn't take over. You don't own it. That means it's not your thought. It's still God's thought. It's not your thought. And the idea is to make God's thought your thought. That means to think with God in the everyday occurrences of life. And to have that all replaced. Not to try to trust him or try to do this or try to do that. See, the try that isn't trust. Trust is the opposite of try. It's the opposite of do. You're not doing anything. You're simply relying on God. And you have to own the Word. The Word has to literally become flesh. And how many times do you have to hear it before that happens? More than once. More than twice. Probably 50 times. Maybe 100 times. Just depends on how astute you are, how you've learned to listen, spiritually listen, not with the ears of your body, but with the ears of your heart. And God makes the hearing ear and the seeing eye. Both of them are made by him. And you couldn't even receive anything unless it was given to you from above. God enables you to hear the Word of God and to retain it when you unite your faith with it, so that it sticks, so that it's stored, so that it's there when you need it, so that when circumstances arise where the Word is recalled, that certifies that Word and establishes that in your heart. And if it's a situation, a difficult situation, and you receive deliverance through that Word, you won't soon forget it. It'll be yours. You'll know it. You'll have great confidence in that Word. Many, many times the Word has rescued me. It's just come out of the blue. Now, it was the word that I took in. It's the word that I heard many, many times. But in that situation, in that circumstance, it came in like a locomotive and literally rescued me from disaster and wrong choices and foolish actions. So, I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. Hang in there. When I was a son to my father, he means a small child, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. So you have to receive them with your heart, not with your ears, not with your head, but with your heart. You say, where is your heart? It's in your head. Cardia has been likened to the right lobe of the conscious mind, where truth or information resides that's useful, that's available for use. And thinking, reasoning, and coming to logical conclusion. But, as I'll speak about in a minute, wisdom is not common sense. Now, wisdom has common sense associated with it, but wisdom is not common sense. Wisdom is far greater than common sense. Its source is, common sense has its source in man. Wisdom has its source in God. Everything that he did in creating the material universe is based on the principles and foundations laid by wisdom. And everything has instruction that is part and parcel of that material existence. And lessons to be taught and learned. You know, he talks about the ant, and he talks about the badger, and he talks about the trees, and he talks about the fields, and he talks about all those things. And wisdom has its instruction and message in every one of them, so that we have literally very practical visual examples of the things that are declared by the Word of God that have spiritual meaning and import. You know, my wife asked me, she said, He said, when you teach Proverbs, you teach everything as though it was spiritual. Doesn't it also have, you know, material implications? Doesn't it actually have, you know, like the sluggard? Isn't he the lazy guy? Yeah, he is. But his laziness extends to the spiritual life as well as to his work life, his work ethic. The more important thing, the most important thing, is the spiritual aspect of Proverbs, not the natural or material aspects of Proverbs, which are also there. Yes, they are. But see, what most people don't grasp is the spiritual importance of those things in Proverbs. And so I emphasize those. So he says then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live. What's it mean if you don't? You die. Don't you? Sooner or later, God will cut you down. Because he is just and right and true. And he's like a father, does not allow disorder in his family. And he is the one for whom all families, heaven and earth, are named, because he's the origin of life, all life. And he says, keep my commandments. What are his commandments? His commandments are not grievous. They're not too hard for you, as Paul says, quoting Moses from Deuteronomy 31. Moses says, the law is not too hard for you. The commandments aren't too hard for you. They're in your heart and in your mouth. The things God told you to do. Paul says, oh, they're the things of faith. You believe every word of God. And then God activates and animates you. See, that's what was missing from the law. Enablement. spiritual enablement, which comes by the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of wisdom. Paul prayed that all believers would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation into the true knowledge of God. And that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened to understand with all the saints what is the height, the depth, the length, and the width, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, to be filled with all the fullness of God. And indeed, that is the objective. Love is the objective. What do you mean love is the objective? God's love is the objective. That we'd be so filled with it that we'd overflow. The only things he accepts are the things of overflow. Things that start with faith and overflow into love. Or flow out into love. That raging river of love. He pours it into us until we're filled up with it. And then it comes out. Toward him. Toward other people. Toward the word of God. Toward wisdom. If you love her, if you embrace her, then you're going to live long and have a great life. That's what this is all about. This tells you all the benefits and advantages of wisdom. And it's a word to the wise. So, he says next. Then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. It has to do with quality of life as well. You know, the just shall live by faith means that they'll continue to live on eternally. It means that they'll have a long life. It means that they'll have quality of life, a happy life. In 1 Timothy 6:19, Paul says, hold on to these things which will bring into your life that which is really living, or real life, or happy and successful life. It only comes by a lifetime of taking in the Word and depending on the Holy Spirit. So he says, next, acquire wisdom. Acquire it. How do you acquire it? You buy it, and you buy it up without money. You buy wine, milk, and honey. That is, wine is for happiness, and milk is for growing, and honey is the sweetness of life from what's taken in. In other words, you have health and well-being of your soul. Sweet life. Sweet words give you a sweet life. Or sweet life produces sweet words. So don't lose your sweet words. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So he says, acquire understanding. See, that's what you're here for. You're here to acquire understanding. You're here to acquire wisdom. You're here to acquire and to hone spiritual skills. Listening skills. You have to learn how to listen to the Word of God. You have to learn how to put everything out of your mind when the Word of God is present, so that you can get the most out of it. And so that you're not looking at or thinking about the person that's speaking to you. You make that one invisible. Whether it's me or Judy or the Pope. On a rope. He's dope. You know, dope, that means cool. He's a rock star. I didn't listen to any of the Pope things, did you? I didn't listen to anything he said because I don't want to hear it. That's a skill. Be careful what you hear. Be careful what you listen to. Jesus didn't say only be careful how you hear. He said be careful what you hear. So there's certain things you really shouldn't listen to lest they distract you, dissuade you, or you get caught up in the spirit of the whole thing, which is the spirit of ludicrousy, this whole thing. And I don't get it, how someone could allow that to occur and to allow people to worship him. That can't be in any way what's intended. I know some of you ex-Catholics still love the Pope and want to kiss his ring, but you shouldn't do that. He's nobody at all, just like us. If Paul was nothing, then certainly the Pope is nothing. And Peter and Paul and the others, if they were nothing but servants, then we're just the same, servants. Sons are servants. And highly esteemed, dearly loved, and greatly blessed by God because of Christ. It's never because of us, it's only because of Him. So he says, acquire understanding. That means that you have to put forth at least the determination or the availability or the desire to get it. That's how you acquire it. You buy it without money, you buy the truth, and you don't sell it for any price. You don't give it away for anything. You don't leave the opportunity lie on the table to take it in, to get it in there so that you might eventually own it and that it might gain for you the most unimaginable wealth of soul here and of real wealth. Spending money in eternity, as I always say. And that's what God wants to give us. It says in another passage, it says that the reward of humility and the fear of the Lord is honor and riches in life. That's my favorite verse in Proverbs. Honor and riches and life. Jesus said, I came that they might have life. And they might have it abundantly. That's life. That's the life that wisdom gives you. Anybody here who has wisdom, in any measure at all, really has a remarkable life. Wisdom gives you a remarkable life. Gives you a life that counts. A life that's not changed, but exchanged. His for yours. Yours for His. And Christ lives in you. And He lives in you so that He might live through you. And that He might touch many others through you. But be wise. Don't cast your pearls before swine or give holy things to dogs because they'll turn on you. You're inviting opposition. We're never to invite opposition. We're never to seek controversy. We're never to seek conflict. We're to be peaceful people. And wisdom's always peaceable, always. It's pure. It's peaceable. It's filled with the fruits of goodness. And it's sown as seed by those who sow it in peace. And you know what? Blessed are the peacemakers, right? For they shall see God. I like that. That means that they'll be in His presence in a very close way, in a particular way, for all eternity. They're going to see Him at all times. That must mean that they have great proximity, close proximity to Him. And others do not, because they're not peacemakers. So keep your peace. Make peace. That is, let the peace of God rule in your heart. You have peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And then you need the God of peace to live inside of you. So that, what's that ringing? Is that time for me to stop? So, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Don't forget. Oh, I forgot. I forgot that we had church tonight. Don't forget. I forgot we had study tonight. Oh, don't forget. How could you forget? If it's the most important thing to you, you would never forget, right? Do you forget your birthday? Christmas? Valentine's Day. There's one we should forget. Greeting card holiday. Yikes. What's next? Oh, Halloween. Did you forget Halloween? I'd like to forget that. How come you always make me hand out the candy? We're shutting the lights out this year. Ghouls and goblins. Demons. Children dressed as demons. Oh well. There's lots of them that are afoot. Not children, but demons. And they take all different kinds of forms. There are very subtle influences in the world. They're called blasts of wind and flames of fire. That's what angels are. Fallen angels do. So what they do is they subtly influence. And they heat this up and they blow this around and you don't even know what they're up to. Unless the Word of God is in you and you have discernment and you can discern the spirits. Then you can see, is there something not right? And you can sense that. So what you do is you just go into hiding. That is, into the hiding place that is Jesus Christ, hid with Christ inside of God. You don't take on the adversary or the atmosphere because it's very subtle and invisible and powerful, and we don't stand against it. We stand our ground, but we don't stand against it. We don't enter into conflict. We just hold the sword, stand our ground, and wear the armor of light. And it vanquishes the darkness. Always. Light always vanquishes darkness. If there's a little bit of light, it vanquishes all darkness. Because darkness can't exist with any light at all. They're mutually exclusive. Absolute. Diametric opposites. So, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. That's the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit. Do not forsake her. Here she's a woman. And she will guard you. Guard you from what? From all harm. From destruction, disaster, ruin. By thinking the wrong things, speaking the wrong things, choosing the wrong things, and doing the wrong things. That have their negative consequences and disastrous consequences. And we should all be wised up by now with certain things. And yet, sometimes those things come very, very hard over such a long period of time. Because we don't want to let them go. And we're magical thinkers. And we think that somehow bad choices can end up with good results, and they can't ever. They never do. It gets worse and worse. And the only way we turn away from certain sinful practices is when we suffer in the flesh. When we hit a point of intolerance for suffering. When we've suffered enough, then we're done with that sin. 1 Peter 4:1. Jesus Christ suffered in the flesh and put away sin on our behalf. And now we have to enter into that same identification suffering in order to set certain things aside that are not beneficial and that simply slow us down, trip us up. That sin that so easily entangles us and run the race with perseverance, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, the starter and finisher of faith's marathon race. Hebrews 12:1-2. So, the beginning of wisdom is acquire it. This is the beginning of wisdom, verse 7. Oh, I'm sorry. I said, she will guard you. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. That means you keep her as your continuous companion. Love her. And she will watch over you. That means that there will be a protective field, a protective armor field around you that wisdom places there. And you don't go in certain places, you don't do certain things, you don't choose certain things, you don't speak certain words. And wisdom shows you how to do that for your own benefit, for your own advantage, for your own protection. And she protects you, guards you. And nothing, no harm will befall you when wisdom is protecting you. And it says, the beginning of wisdom is, get it. That's so simple, isn't it? Let's say, oh, I'd like to have wisdom. Then go get it. Go get it. And with all you're getting, get understanding. It means if you're going to go get anything, get that and do it with gusto. Get it. Unless you don't really want it. And most don't. So they don't get it, do they? And they'll never get it. They'll think, why don't I do this? Why don't I have this? Why don't I have that? Where's this and where's that from the Word of God? Why don't I see it happening? Because you don't want it. You don't want wisdom. Wisdom is what gives it to you. And it's the most important thing. That's how the New International Version says. It says wisdom. It doesn't say the beginning of wisdom is get wisdom. It says wisdom is the most important thing. And if it costs you everything you have, get understanding. That's pretty important to be stated that way, isn't it? It's the most important thing. So go get it. What are you waiting for? Go get it. You know what? If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God for it. He'll always give it to you. But you have not because you don't ask. You don't want it. And God doesn't make you take anything that you don't want, does he? Never. He's a gentleman. No, he waits for you to make requests of him. And then he'll give you that peace that passes understanding as you cast all of your cares and make all of your requests known to him. The peace of God, which passes understanding, guards your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. And then your life is peaceful. You have a pleasant, peaceful life. Filled with the pleasant fruits of righteousness, not the rotten peaches of bad choices. The rotten fruit of bad choices. That is, the deeds of the flesh, which are manifest, and the results of every wrong move, every hurtful, harmful, sinful choice and action has its negative consequences. You can't escape it. You'll pay the piper, you'll reap what you sow. Your backslidings will chasten you. And it could be that the soul that sins will die. There is a sin unto death. For those who are recalcitrant, that means that they will not repent for any reason. Even though God sorely disciplines them, they still, they're obstinate and will not give in, will not humble themselves, will not change their mind. They're reticent, resistant, neglectful, and flat-out rejectful of the Word of God. And so he has no choice but to take them out. And nobody likes to hear about that too much, but it's a fact of Scripture. He says here that if you get wisdom, and if wisdom is your pursuit in life, then you will live. And the opposite is also true. If you don't, as a believer, you will die. Simple as that. I didn't say it. God's Word says it over and over again. And not just in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. Some are weak, some are sick, some have died. Right? Why? Because they didn't discern the body of Christ. They didn't know what the church is for and the body of Christ is for. They thought it was for social, pleasure. So for a social purpose. And it's not. You know, but you wouldn't know that because today it's, you know, there's no, Susie was telling me about somebody at work and she wants to talk about church things, but she didn't want to talk about Christ or talk about the Word. She wants to talk about how cold it was in church because, you know, they had the air conditioning on too high and other things. You know, that's what people talk about. They don't have any interest in Christ. They don't have any rapport with other believers. They don't love one another in the truth, speak the truth in love. You know, let Christ be between me and thee. Let the Lord be between me and thee, you know, and have friendship with souls knit together in the truth of God's word, and just love to converse with other believers and have the time of their life just having conversation about the Lord and his word. There's nothing better. But there's few who want it, few that do it, few that have it, and the few that do are going to be the chosen few. See, there's a way that leads to life, and it's narrow. It's a narrow gate and a narrow path, and there's few that be to find it. Few there be that find it. I didn't say it. The Lord did. Few there be that find it. Does that mean there's only a few people saved? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But it means there's only a few that really do find the way of life. And the way of life is Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. He is the road. Way is hodos, which means road. It's not way, it means like a path. And the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It gets brighter and brighter until the full day. But I digress. Let's go back to the scripture. He says, "The beginning of wisdom, acquire wisdom with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her." Prize her, prize her. What's that mean, prize her? That means hang on to her because she is valuable, so valuable. Wisdom is so valuable. It's more valuable, has a greater value than all the gold and silver, even the gold of Ophir, the finest of gold, and jewels and gems. And it is precious. It's a precious commodity. And a rare and precious commodity on the earth. And so, acquire wisdom with all your acquiring, get understanding, prize her, and she will what? Exalt you. That means promote you. You'll get promoted. Wisdom has the power, the authority to promote you. That means here, if that's indeed what you want, if you want the promotion, then get wisdom. And wisdom will promote you. Because promotion doesn't come from the horizontal plane, from the east to the west, it comes from the north. That means God promotes those who have wisdom. He puts them in places of authority if they have wisdom. Now, he also sets the basis of people, tyrants, dictators over the nations. This is judgment. But he also promotes people that have wisdom and puts them in positions of authority where they can do good, where they can be ministers of God for the good and to reward that which is right or righteous and to punish that which is wicked or unrighteous. So, prize her and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you hold her close, embrace her. You've got to hold her close. She's lovely. And you hold her close. And as a result, you get honor, great honor. Honor and association with wisdom. Wisdom has a close association with honor. That is the very honor. See, God honors those who honor him. He says, "You don't honor me nor my Father, for you don't know me or my Father." You really don't. If you don't know who I am, you don't know my Father. Because the Father, the Son knows the Father, and only the Son, and to whomever he will reveal him, whoever he wishes or wants to reveal him to. And you don't honor me or my Father. And wisdom always honors God and then honors those who honor God. And God is impressed with those who honor wisdom, those who keep his word, because faith is the only thing that pleases him. The only thing that pleases him. Without it, it's impossible to please him, right? Yes, that's right. What's it mean by faith? That means the word residing, circulating in your soul. As wisdom, as application of truth, as know-how regarding the spiritual life. Spiritual know-how. It's knowing what to think in a situation and what to do. It's the solution. Wisdom brings the solution to every problem. And the solution might be, don't do anything. Wait upon the Lord. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up on wings like eagles. They'll run and not get weary, walk and not faint. And that's those who wait on the Lord. And other times, they'll spring into action. They'll tell you exactly what to do, what to say. Jesus waited for the Father to show him what to do, to bring that word. He lived on the word of God. He didn't live by natural ability or natural provision. He lived by every word of God and left us an example that we should follow in his footsteps. If that's how he lived, isn't that how we should live? I'm convicted by it all the time. Why don't we live like Jesus did? We know how he lived. We know that he is the only celebrity. There's not two, not the Pope and Jesus. Just Jesus. No other celebrities. No Christian minister, no evangelist, no Christian, so-called Christian celebrity shares the spotlight. The spotlight's on one, Jesus Christ. He's first and foremost. First, he's prototokos, which means he's first in order, rank, and importance. And God said that he shall have all of the preeminence, all of the praise, all of the honor, all of the glory. And he shares that with those who embrace wisdom. Because to embrace wisdom is to embrace him. For he is wisdom personified. So, prize her and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a libya. That's a winner's wreath that the Greeks presented the winners of the games, the various events of the games, and placed upon their head the winner's wreath. She will place a garland of grace. That's favor. Goodness. Blessing. And every kind of exaltation that's available or possible for a human being. That's what wisdom will bring you. That's what wisdom will give you. So how much should we want it? Oh, we should want it more than anything else. Prize her and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head. That's on your mind. Your head, a garland of grace. That means that your mind will be so filled with grace and truth that you'll be somewhat like Jesus, who was full of grace and truth. And that's the whole idea. See, we've been predestinated to be conformed into the image of God's Son. He was born in us so that he might be formed in us. And the formation of Christ can be painful. And it is, because there's a ripping and tearing. But the end of it is pleasant. Whereas resisting that process is unpleasant, to say the least. And can be deadly. So we want to just be available and present ourselves to the Lord for the renewing of our minds. So that we might demonstrate that the manifestation of Christ, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Romans 12:1-2. We make a daily presentation. We're beseeched by God to understand and respond to his great mercy. And to pay close attention to every word of God. So that we might have the mind or the thinking of Christ. And we might cooperate in our progressive sanctification, which means that we just stand and present ourselves available as he wills and works in us according to his purpose and pleasure. In Philippians 2:12-13. So he says then next, she will present you with a crown of beauty. something? What is that? You're going to win the beauty contest. You get the crown of beauty. Wow. What kind of beauty contest? Oh, the beauty of Christ in you. That's what it is. Nothing else. And He is altogether beautiful. His beauty is beyond the beauty of anything else, beyond the beauty of the lilies, beyond the beauty and the majesty and the glorious manifestation of people, and even Solomon in all of his glory. It doesn't even compare to a lily. Certainly not more glorious than Jesus Christ, because He is the very glory of God. So you can't know God apart from His glory, and Jesus is the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. They tell the whole story of Jesus. That's the glory of God. Christ is the glory of God. And then you as a body part of His are here assigned a role so that you might glorify God in your body, which is part and parcel of the body of Christ. And God does that in and through you. But first He has to do something to you. He has to install wisdom and instill wisdom as you voluntarily present yourself for that purpose. Don't forsake it. Don't abandon it. Pick up steam. Do it much more as you see the day approaching. That's what the writer of the Hebrews said. In those who didn't attend a local assembly. And it became a bad habit not to attend. And because they didn't receive the warning of the Spirit, and they were swept away with the wicked in 70 AD when Titus of Rome came in and wiped out Jerusalem and set Jerusalem and Israel on the back burner and took the nation from the people, God's people, which they did not receive back until 1948, so 1,873 years without a country. And then God restored it so He could fulfill the end time events. You think it all ended in 70 AD? That's proof that it didn't. It's back and ready to go. And there's only 6 million. 6 million Jews are people that know their Jewish heritage, and the rest of them are melded and amalgamated into the population of the world. And you might be one. I know the Seligmans are Jews. That's a Jewish name. And I know that the Habsburgs are too, right? That was their name, Habsburg, yeah. Back in the old country. So who knows who's a Jew? God's going to show us how many of us were of Jewish heritage and didn't even know it, just to prove how faithful He is to His plan, His purpose, and His promise to save Abraham's seed and make them as though they were as numerous as the stars of the heaven, the dust of the earth. How's He do that? If that's not so, if He didn't sow them into the nations, well, we know that He did. Through the story and the promises made and the prophecy made regarding Joseph's son, Ephraim. That's how it comes about. And we'll talk about that another time. Let's move on here. She will place on your head a garland of grace. We did that. Hear, my son, accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. What if you don't? What if you don't? Then what happens? Are the years of your life many? You're going to be probably cut short. See what it says? Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. So if you don't accept His sayings and hear the Father's word, the Father's voice, the years of your life will not be so many. That's the way it works. That's the reason you're here, is to get wisdom. So if you don't fulfill the will of God, if you don't pursue what God has told you is most important, then there's no reason for you to stay around. There's no reason for God to keep you here. After justification, And Christ is wisdom in justification, sanctification, and glorification. It's all about Christ. It's all about wisdom. It's wisdom that has put this plan in place, and it's magnificent, and there's every reason to pursue it with all you're getting as the most important thing in life. You say, but my family's the most important thing. Well, unless you hate your family, you can't be his disciple. Sorry. Did Jesus mean that for today, or was that just back then? That was for today. Just like it was for back then. You think it's true? Unless you hate father, mother, brother, sister, wife, and your own life. That means that you don't cave into anybody. You don't let anybody stand in the place of Jesus Christ. Or tell you you can't go. Uh-uh. You can't pursue Christ. Well, there's no tyranny that can keep you from Christ, because spiritual freedom is, you know, is overarches all, you know, human tyranny. So nobody can keep you back. But that's what he said. He said, the guy said, let me go bury my father, and then I'll come and follow you. And he said, let the dead bury their own dead. You follow me. That's pretty hard, isn't it? Well, he said to those who were following him at one point, he said, unless you eat my blood, eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't have any part with me. And many didn't follow him anymore after that. I said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And so Peter, he said to Peter, are you going to go too, Peter? Why don't you just go too? Too hard for you? He says, Lord, where shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. So we follow the one who has the words of eternal life, and we go his way. He knows what it's all about. And he's the one who's calling us to himself. We're going the same way Jesus went. And don't marvel if the world hates you. It hated him first. So do you hate your mother and brothers and sisters in regard to, you know, if that's a distraction, or if that is an attempt, if they attempt to take you away from your number one pursuit and priority in life, which is getting wisdom or knowing Christ, then tell them you hate them and walk away. No, you don't tell them you hate. Say, I love you, but I got to go. Family's not, it's not focused on the family. Family's not what it's about. It's not about family. Thank God it's not about family. Eternally. And it's not about marriage. Eternally. You won't marry in heaven. You won't. Well, I know my husband there. Well, you don't like him much here. So what do you want to know him for there? You don't respect him here. And he doesn't show much love toward you either. So what do you want to be married for in heaven? You're not going to be married. Even Dan and Judy aren't going to be married in heaven. Dan will be a bachelor. Have his own bachelor palace, Pat. No, that's not what it is. We're all in love with Christ. And we're one big happy family. And he overwhelms all of it. That's what makes heaven heaven, is the presence of Christ. Oh, I thought I'd get through this. I ain't getting through none of it. But I'm taking my time. I don't care. It doesn't matter, does it? It's a word to the wise. I have directed you in the way, verse 11, in the way of wisdom, I have led you in the upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. And if you run, you will not stumble. I told you, those who wait upon the Lord will have strength, will renew their strength. And they won't trip, they won't fall, they won't stumble. Then he says, take hold, verse 13, of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. What does that mean? She is your life. That means she keeps you. That's why she keeps you. I mean, that's why you stay. That's why you'll be here. The reason for which you stay here, the reason for which you're here, and if you take advantage of and follow the mandate of life, then, of course, you'll stay here and be here and have a great life. But if you don't, none of those things will be so for you. She is your life. That means that wisdom will determine your happiness here and your rewardability in eternity. Both. Your great happiness here, the abundant life that Jesus came to give you, or a short life and dishonorable discharge and disgrace instead of grace. So you'll either grow in the grace or groan in disgrace. It's true for every one of us. To whom much is given, much is required. And all you're required to do is keep on receiving God's truth, God's grace, grace and truth, to be conformed in the image of Christ. Grow in gratitude. That's all we're to do. We're to be more and more thankful as time goes on, as we learn more of the Word and learn more of the Son, who is the living Word of God. So, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not proceed in the way of evil men. We should know that by now, right? But some people like evil people because they got money. And they want to follow the money. Show me the money. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. That is, just eschew evil completely. You see evil, go the other way. Don't get embroiled, entangled in it. Don't participate in it in any way. Don't even give a cent to it. Avoid it like the plague, because it'll bring a plague. It says, for they cannot sleep, that is, evildoers, unless they do evil, and they're robbed of sleep unless they make somebody else stumble. They're going to try to suck you in. So be careful, beware. For they eat the bread of wickedness, they are what they eat, and drink the wine of violence. They're not happy drunks, they're violent drunks. Everything they do is violence. If they can't get what they want by nice, then they take what they want by vice and by violence. Verse 18, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. What a difference between the two. What a contrast between the two. It shines brighter and brighter until the full day. We're children of the day. Children of light. Not children of darkness and children of the night, so that the things that occur at night and that lurk in the shadows can have their way with us, or that we participate in them in any way. No, we walk in the light of day on the path of the righteous, and it's brighter and brighter. It's more and more clear, more and more illuminated what we're here for, what we're doing as we walk upon the sod of this earth each day. That's what we're here for. And for no other reason. Don't forget, that's the reason you're here. Is to get that word in your soul and for you to own it. And so the way of the wicked is like darkness. In contrast, they do not know over what they stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. That means right in the center of your heart. The center of your soul's frame of reference. Your heart's frame of reference. At all times. Right on the forefront. See, you have to take it every day. Get it every day for it to be central to your heart. To your conscious mind. So that you think about it. Choose it. And do it in wisdom. As you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And live the life that He gave you. He died to give you. He died, He gave His life for you, so He gave it to you. And He gave it to you, and it's costly. And you don't belong to yourself anyway, you belong to Him. You're not your own, you bought with a price. So, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. He says it over and over again. It must be very important. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all your body. Oh, there's another one. Look at that. Health! That's not figurative, that's literal. Health to your body and bones. People can have diseases all around you, and you won't have it. They have a plague. They have contagious disease, and you won't get it. Well, you may get it, but probably won't if you're in this paradigm. If you live by this paradigm, if Jesus Christ is your role model and example, and you're following in His footsteps, I don't remember seeing Him ever being sick. Was He? Was He ever sick? Oh, He died, but not because He was sick. He breathed out His last. And we're almost done. We started at 25 till. But there's a promise there. If you go after wisdom, God will honor you supremely and keep you alive for a long time and keep you healthy no matter what you eat. Whether you eat whole foods or half foods like McDonald's. I don't recommend that because you need a balanced diet, and that's wisdom to eat a balanced diet. But if you can't, God will certainly still keep you alive and well. So, watch over your heart with all diligence. From it flow the springs of life. That's the wellspring of life, is your heart. That is the Word of God inside of your heart. That is the wellspring of your life and your happiness, your blessing. God looks upon the heart. He doesn't look at the outward appearance. See, you can't change your life anyway. You can change your mind, and then God changes your life. And He changes your mind through His Word, and then changes your life by Spirit, by the Word and the Spirit, so that you're made conformable to the image of Christ. And that's what it's all about. Put away from your deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. He talks about the tongue. The tongue is a little rudder on the ship, and what it does is it directs the course of your life into the reef, into the rocks and shipwrecks. Your life shipwrecks your faith. Because the tongue is untamable. And it sets forest fire, burns your forest down, burns your life down, your house down. So bite your tongue, hold your tongue, hold your peace. And he says, let your eyes look directly ahead. That means don't look around. Looking unto Jesus. That's what we do. The author and finisher of faith. See? It says, apharao, which means looking away from all others unto one, unto Jesus. So keep focused on Jesus Christ. Stay focused on Christ at all times. And if you wander, if your mind wanders, bring it right back, and God will enable you to do that. Keep your eyes right in front of you. That doesn't mean study the Bible all day long, but it just means that don't let anything woo you or seduce you or lure you that's evil in any way. And you know the difference. You're not insane. See, the people plead insanity, say they don't know the difference between good and evil, right and wrong. You do. Because you have the Word of God. It defines all things very clearly. So, watch the path of your feet and all your ways. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. That means you'll be stable. You'll have a stabilized soul and a relaxed life and a peaceful soul. You'll be established, stabilized. Your mind will be stable. You won't be unstable. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. That is, turn from evil and go straight ahead. Press on to the mark of the prize of the upward summons of God in Christ Jesus. Then finally, 1 Corinthians 1:21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. That means this is all the wisdom of God, that by man's wisdom, you can't know God. You can only know God by His wisdom, not the best wisdom of man. Those who are wise in their own eyes, wise in their own conceit, and will be judged and destroyed because they offend the whole. holy word of God in Isaiah. That's what he says in Isaiah. He says, that's why. And God's well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. That's his wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:24, to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God, and he's the wisdom of God. So who's wisdom? Christ. Ephesians 3:10, so that the manifold wisdom of God, that is, the many-tinted wisdom of God, might now be made known through the church, through us, to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. It's a bigger picture than you think. See, what God's doing is he's instructing angels on what wisdom is. They're using weak, frail human beings who he instills wisdom in so that they might have the very thinking of God and operate and function in league with him and in accordance with his the absolute truth of his word. And they're flabbergasted by it because we get to choose anything. We could choose to think about anything we want and do anything we want and prioritize anything we want, but we've chosen wisdom. And that just really thrills them to see that. And it really indicts the fallen ones as well. Wisdom is sound judgment, right thinking, good decisions, appropriate actions in accordance with the absolute truth of God's word when finally enough of it is resident in the soul of a person who pursues it as the most urgent or important matter in this life. It originates with God and depends on God. God promises wisdom to all who ask him. That's James 1:5, James 3:17 and 18, Proverbs 4, the whole chapter, and we're done. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for wisdom. Father, may it be, as indeed it is, to us, the most important thing. And with all our getting, may we get it. May we keep it. May we hold it fast, embrace it. Father, by so doing, make the most of our opportunity on earth, bring glory to your name, and exalt the person, the glorious person, the wonderful person, the beautiful person, the lover of our souls, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you so much for this so great salvation, that you've made us princes from the dung heap. You've set us among your people. And that you exalt those who humble themselves and humble those who exalt themselves. For the first will be last and the last will be first. Thank you for these things, Father, in the precious name of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
I'm old.